Blog Talk Radio.
Rafa Marquez. Rafa Marquez.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Rafa Marquez versus Swig Mania. That was supposed to be Marquez saying Wrestle Marquez, and then we were supposed to hear someone yell Versus, and then we were supposed to hear someone yell Swink Mania. But seeing as we're back, the gorilla position, the Detroit Wrestling Connection is back on Blog Talk Radio, that didn't work, which actually makes perfect sense. It wouldn't make any sense if it did work. Hi, you may not recognize this voice. I've been on the show a couple times. My name is Charles Joseph Erickson III, but you can call me Charlie. I'll be the moderator of today's show. And what is today's show, you may ask? Well, today's show is a very special edition episode, a podcast preview of the biggest weekend of the WWE year. That's right, we are here to discuss and give opinions on WrestleMania 40, Night 1, Night 2, and NXT Stand and Deliver. Now, joining me, who you already heard, is the man who absolutely loves the WWE. It fills his heart with joy. Marquez Ale! Marquez, are you there?
What's up? Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you. It's a little staticky, but I can still hear you. Marquez, I had trouble. I couldn't log in to Blog Talk Radio. This is perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, we picked up where we left off. And also, I need to apologize. I didn't turn on Swink's mic. So that's my fault that you didn't hear Swink say his part as well as Steve.
So what you're saying is the other guys did their part. Their microphones weren't on.
Yep. Yeah.
We've been doing this for about 10 years, on and off. If you combined all of us together, we've probably been doing this about 20 years. Anyway, the man who loves WWE but hates to hear people's voices, Marquez Ale is here. You know him from his various podcasts and being the producer of The Gorilla Position. If you don't know him from that, you'll also know him as the blurry image in the back of a lot of photos of Trish Stratus. Now, the second half of this equation, even though there are a little more fractions involved, the second half of this equation is the man who hates the WWE with a passion. It fills his guts with disgust and bile. That man is none other than the Swink, Nick Swinky. Swinky, is your microphone turned on?
Hello? Let's hope it is. Hello.
We actually were kind of rehearsed this a few hours ago. Swink, are you there? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
This is not an if anybody is actually listening, this is not an April Fool's joke. Now, the deal is WrestleMania is coming up. Swink hates WWE. Marquez loves WWE, as I've already covered. They're going to duke it out here as we discuss the matches for the event. But that's not all. We've also got the legend of podcast transmissions and broadcasts and appearances, and the man who works for every independent wrestling federation in the tri-state area, but you don't know what those states are, and I'm not going to tell you because I don't think he wants most people to know where he is. Steve Aaron, are you on the line?
Versus! Versus, goddammit! Versus!
Steve was supposed to say Versus. Marquez was supposed to say Marquez. Wrestle Marquez, Swink was supposed to finish with Swink Mania, and in between there, the sweet sound of Steve was supposed to say Versus. He's been practicing all afternoon. Marquez, Marquez, most of the people on the line are kind of weary of the WWE. You're not helping your cause tonight. All right, no one can hear me. But that's not all. Steve is here. The name of the show is Wrestle Marquez versus Swink Mania. That's the name of the show. But we also have more people on the show. What would a Gorilla Position episode be without everyone's favorite? Well, I should let Swink say it. Swink, who's going to be introduced next?
Well, coming up next, we've got the one, the only, the amazing turtle, Mike Brennan.
I wasn't talking about him.
Oh, you weren't talking about him.
No, is he even on the show? Turtle, are you there?
He's not here.
You know, we got 10 pizzas in the green room for Turtle, and he's not even here.
He didn't even show up. Oh, wait, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Swick used to do the great introduction all the time.
He's the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, the ghost of the Macho Man, Randy Savage. What up, Mach?
Yeah, I've been on the phone for a half an hour. What's going on around here? Can you guys hear me, Martez? Is my microphone on?
Your microphone is off.
Martez was purposely muting everyone.
I know what's going on. He's going to mute you the whole show, Swink. That was his master plan. I get it now.
Exactly.
It's like Admiral Akbar said. It's a trap.
This is evil Martez tonight.
Anyway, I'm here to add my 14 cents in. 2 cents is not enough, plus I'm the macho ghost, so everything is multiplied exponentially. I don't know if that math works out. Anyway, here I am.
It just wouldn't be this show if we didn't have technical difficulties.
It's already doesn't make any sense, and I just wanted Swink to call me the spooky specter. That's what I was hoping for.
It's been a while since I've done the intro.
This is going swimmingly. I think Steve's already hung up. Steve, are you there?
Versus?
Steve, are you there?
Hello?
Versus?
Versus?
No. Steve, you don't have to say that anymore. It didn't work.
This is the train wreck.
I've been waiting for this my cue.
Steve, you probably did it. Nobody heard you. We'll never know. Can you live with that?
I'm just waiting for my cue.
If anybody would like to call in and join the discussion, and at this point I think this is probably a bad idea, but the phone number to the studio here is 563-999-3414. Once again, that's 563-999-3414. I have no access to the behind-the-scenes board for some reason. My passwords and things aren't working, so Martez, who is supposed to be one of the stars of the show, has to run the board all by himself. Martez, how do you feel about this?
I don't know. I'll see what I can do. I'm already messing up. You know, I'm supposed to be taking on Swink, and I'm already messing up on this end, so we'll see.
All right, you gotta shake it off. Shake it off. This is like, okay, you came in, you lost the match. Now you lost the match in Poughkeepsie. Now you're in Toledo. You gotta shake it off. You gotta start fresh. You can't bring that negative energy from last night's incredible failure, the incredible failure of almost 10 minutes ago. You cannot bring that energy with you to the rest of the hour and 20 minutes. That's right. We're on for 90 minutes. We've already used up 10 of those.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Martez,
what's
up, Steve?
Can I offer you some free advice?
Steve, go ahead. Why aren't you hosting the show?
I'm not hosting. I just wanted to give him some free advice. Martez, finish your story.
I love it. Thanks for
the
advice.
I have a feeling Martez's story is a never-ending story.
Ooh,
and I think 10 minutes ago his horse just got caught in the swamp. All right, anyway, I think I've laid down the groundwork. I think you've talked enough. That's right, I'm supposed to be in the background. I'm supposed to relax and fade into the background. I'm just here to move things along and manage the time. How did I get put in charge of managing the time?
Only God knows.
Man. All right, get things started. Where are we at? WrestleMania, night one. Where are we starting? Well, there's only one place to start. That's with the epic story. Cody Rhodes, The Bloodline, Roman Reigns, The Rock. There's a big tag team match. Why don't we start there, fellas? Swink, Steve, Martez. Why don't we start there? This is the implications of this match. The big tag team match, the return of The Rock. If The Rock and Roman Reigns defeat Cody Rhodes and his tag team partner, Seth Rollins, then all the members of the Bloodline, I believe this to be true, all the members of the Bloodline will be at ringside during their undisputed WWE Universal Championship match on night two of WrestleMania. But if Cody and Seth win, then Cody wrestles Roman one-on-one without the bloodline. No one is allowed at ringside. All right, so I've set that up. Obviously, Martez, I'm sure you could speak eloquently on the history of this and how well it's unfolded. I myself, as someone who doesn't watch the WWE, well, according to everybody else, this is better than Gone with the Wind. This is cinema. This is something Martin Scorsese would actually like. Gio Martez! Martez, are you there? We've lost Martez.
All right, I'm here.
There he is. There he is.
We're having some issues tonight. You know, this is why we transitioned our blog. But anyway, I'm so enamored with this story. You know, I've been a fan of this whole finisher story piece since Cody Rhodes came back to the WWE. And since we're talking about that tag team matchup, at first I didn't like this because I felt like it didn't make any sense. So why would we have The Rock and Roman take on Seth and Cody Rhodes, especially when Seth has to take on Drew McIntyre when he's defending the World Heavyweight Championship? I didn't think that was a good idea. But the more I look at this and the more the weeks have progressed, I'm more glued into this match. So I'm so glued into this. I'm so glued into this match. I'm looking forward to it. I think Roman and Rock are going to win this match. Because there's no way that Roman is going to lose night one. So I'm going with The Rock and Roman to win this match. I mean, I'll give my other prediction about the one-on-one matchup with Cody and Roman a little bit later. But, yeah, I'm going with The Rock, and I'm going with Roman on this matchup.
You're worried about him wrestling the next night? I beat four guys in one night to win my World Heavyweight Championship. How about that? Tell me about it. Someone compliment me.
Nice job.
Thanks. Man, Swink, I have a feeling you have a very different take on this. It's Roman Reigns and that guy from that movie San Andreas versus Cody Rhodes, son of the American Dream. It's Seth the freaking Rollins.
Yeah, hey, incidentally, I'd like to interject here. Incidentally, I believe Swink actually knows the ghost of Dusty Rhodes. Maybe he'll make an appearance later. Probably not, but you never know.
We can only
All
hope.
Right. Well.
Swink's gearing up. You can hear him.
I think they've done a tremendous job building towards this great one-on-one match between The Rock and Cody Rhodes. Oh, wait. That's not the match. Listen.
Maybe it should be.
The stuff with The Rock has been great. There's no doubt about that. I'm not going to debate that. The problem is the build to this Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes match is all wrong, because with the build that they have done so far, you would think that the match is, like I said, The Rock and Cody Rhodes. But it's not.
Who is this?
Roman Reigns is playing second fiddle to The Rock, and he is the champion of the company. And he is the guy he's the guy that's going to be defending his belt at WrestleMania, and nobody cares about that match. All they're interested in is The Rock and Cody. And The Rock instantly makes everyone else in the company look inferior just by walking in the room, because that's a real star. When he walks in, that's a real star.
Just like me on this show.
And the problem here is, like I said, the build is all wrong. It's towards Cody and The Rock, and there's no real emphasis on Roman Reigns whatsoever. And when he does come out there, his promos don't even land. And, you know, they did that whole thing with The Rock and Cody, and people thought they were watching some kind of cinematic masterpiece because he just beat Cody to a bloody pulp. And people are overreacting, thinking this is the return of the Attitude Era because someone bled. And I'm like, okay, that's just a pro wrestling angle. okay?
It wasn't even a very
That's
good
all.
One. I've seen better beatdowns in the grocery store.
I think,
listen, it was a good pro wrestling angle, and I understand why people liked it. But let's not act like it was something like, you know, like Apocalypse Now or something, you know. This is pro wrestling. I mean, the people
I'll
that think they're
thing,
watching
Swink.
Some.
If Darby Allin was in WWE and it was Darby Allin versus The Rock, they would have thrown Darby Allin's ass over that embankment down into the truck lobby.
Well, that's because Darby Allin has a death wish, so he would have told The Rock, go ahead and throw me.
He would have volunteered.
Throw me into oncoming traffic.
That was the thing I was most disappointed about. I wanted someone to go into that pit, but they did not do it.
I think that's what Swink is saying, and then we'll get back to Martez about this. This is, baseball season just started. I'm a fan of baseball, if you didn't know that. Just because you win one game doesn't mean you're going to the World Series. Just because one guy bleeds, especially on the way to WrestleMania, that doesn't mean anything's changing. I sat through 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown last week to prepare for this show, and I'm angry. I want to slap The Rock around. I watch Monday Night Raw. Do you know there's about 25 minutes of wrestling on a 3-hour show?
Someone
Steve
did.
Is already sitting
Someone.
There thinking, man, I saw this. He's already thinking of ways while he's watching that this beatdown could have been better if there was an actual creative mind in that company.
I think the beatdown was the best thing I've seen in the last 10 years. And here's why. Because WWE hasn't done anything like this in such a long time.
Ooh.
And first, the fact that it was raining outside, we were in Chicago, you know, Cody was bleeding. That added to the lure of the beatdown. You know, that added to that made the beatdown more special than just, it made it much more special. So I disagree with you all. I disagree with you, Swing. I think this was one of the best things in WWE history, you know.
That oh wow,
stand on
that is a that is a it. That is a precarious
I'm,
wall
I'm
to stand your ground on.
And I'm trying to get my feet wet to load this. I'm long time since I did this, but I got to get comfortable with this talking on the air and whatever. But like, this is masterpiece. This is high class masterpiece. And I still think the Cody and Roman Reigns that build up. It's obviously not at the height as it was last year, but I don't think it's that far down as people making it. You know, this is just one big story, people. This is just one big story. That's how I'm looking at it. It's one big story, all tied into one. So, I think it's great. I can't wait to go and watch it when I get off this show. But I just wanted to get on here and just say that I disagree with you all for the. In regards to the comments that you all made pertaining to that beatdown, I think it's one of the best things WWE has done in like 10 years. And we do got a caller on the line. I don't know who it is, but whenever you want to go to them, Charlie.
Well, let's let me ask real quick. I love that. We got a caller on the line. I don't know who it is. Do you think that legitimately, before all the scandal, and Rock becoming a member of the board of directors of the company that owns the WWE now, do you think it was legitimately the main event was supposed to be The Rock versus Roman Reigns, what people have wanted to see for a couple years until Cody came back? And incidentally, I'd like to point out that their biggest babyface hero in the WWE is from AEW.
That makes it even more special.
Okay,
I'm not sure. That's a good thing. You just said that beatdown sequence, that epic motion picture that made us laugh and made us cry, is the greatest thing the WWE has done in 10 years. Did I understand you correctly?
You understood that correctly.
Okay, so I am not going to disagree with your belief in this, because if that's how you feel, more power to you. You're a wrestling fan. You can feel however you want to feel. That was the laziest beatdown, the laziest confrontation. We have seen it 1,000 times before. There was absolutely nothing special. And they had to have The Rock grab the camera so they didn't catch Cody digging himself. That is absolutely one of the most embarrassing things I have ever seen.
Look at you. Look at you. Look at this. Look at him. Look at you. Look at this. Look at you. Look at this.
Rock only had one line. Man, now see, Turtle's supposed to be here to help you out, Martez. You're getting outnumbered fast.
Okay, so someone actually did the math.
Someone
actually
did
the
math
on how much actual wrestling was on the shows this past week. And on Raw, there was only 47 minutes of wrestling, so that was only 26% of the show.
Half of that had to be introductions.
And then 30 minutes, that's how much there was of wrestling, actual wrestling on SmackDown, so that was only 25% of the show.
Man. 5 hours.
When it goes to Netflix.
Yeah, Martez, do you have Netflix?
I've said this before, but for me, it's not about the in-ring wrestling anymore. It's about the stories. It's about the promo. Me, I don't turn on Raw. I don't turn on SmackDown to watch a match. I do, but that's not what I'm really looking for. I'm looking for the backstage segments. I'm looking for the vignettes. I'm looking for the promos. I think, and this goes on crazy, I think the watching wrestling to watch just wrestling, it's outdated. And I think we are past. That's why it's hard for me to, and I don't want to inject AEW in it, but I guess I have to. That's why it's hard to digest AEW, because some of us we need more than just wrestling. We need more than just 5-star matches. You know, we need more than and yes, I'm a WWE apologist. I'm conditioned. Yes, I know that I'm conditioned to love WWE, but WWE. Go ahead. Somebody wants to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, man. Well, now, that's interesting. You should pick up on that as the moderator. I think I will. Now, that's interesting. Now, that's something we've debated before, Swink and Steve and I and Martez. The difference between a WWE fan, and not trying to say this as any kind of insult, but the difference between a WWE fan and an AEW fan or maybe other types of wrestling, the WWE fans don't really seem to be that interested in the actual wrestling. It's more about the show, which is kind of the way that the WWE has always been produced. And Martez, you're saying you think yourself personally, you're not even interested really in the wrestling. How does that make you feel?
Yeah.
Are you? Okay, I guess I'll respond then.
Yes, Swink. How do you feel about the average WWE fan, although Martez is an extraordinary WWE fan, but the average WWE fan probably is not interested in the wrestling?
That's not surprising, because I see that mentality a lot when it comes to WWE fans that are just strictly WWE fans and don't watch any other form of wrestling, not just AEW. I'm talking about just wrestling in general. And you know me, I watch more than just AEW. But the point
he watches
is,
everything. He has 3 monitors set up on his glasses so he can watch. It's like Google Glass, but it's like Swinkle Vision.
I mean, I've got a show on right now as we're talking. But as I was saying, what was the point I was going to make? Now you've thrown me off, Macho Ghost.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I'm supposed to do. The point was that WWE fans is kind of an admission, not of guilt, but like finally we've heard a WWE fan say we're just not that interested in the wrestling. It's the show that we like.
Oh, right. So if you're not in it to watch wrestling, then why are you watching wrestling? Because the whole point of watching wrestling is to watch the wrestling. Everything else adds to the actual matches that you're watching. And I hate the thing that people say, oh, they don't tell a story. They don't tell stories. It's because they don't do it in the way that WWE does, where they have Roman Reigns stand out there and deliver a monologue during his match like he's in the middle of a high school theater production.
Man, he'd probably be good in the Pirates of Penzance.
The whole point of wrestling is to be able to tell a story, not just with words, but in the ring. Am I wrong, Steve?
No, that's 100% accurate. I mean, in the WWE, they tell stories. I mean, obviously they tell more stories than they do actual physically compete on some evenings. But the storytelling they do is more like they are force-feeding you narratives that they know you will like, and they keep giving you spoonful after spoonful until you say, hey, yeah, I like it. That is the only way to explain how Roman Reigns has achieved the quote-unquote legacy. Because when you look back on it, I'm not exactly sure if I'm ready to ever call this guy the greatest of all time. I mean, he's held the belt a long time because he wrestles once every 4 months. So I guess that's, you know, making the most of your opportunities. I think Roman Reigns was much more interesting when he was part of the Shield. That was a great story, and they fought good matches. It meant something. Now this whole bloodline thing, you know, it's gotten so force-fed and force-put on everybody that now everybody's like, yeah, this is amazing. And now The Rock comes out, and, you know, you can't miss with somebody that is more God than man in the industry. The Rock is one of the most important professional wrestler superstars that has ever worked under that umbrella. I mean, he's on the Mount Rushmore. So, of course, when he comes back, and he always looks physically great and physically imposing, and now he's on the board, so he's the final boss. They could easily make the shift and have The Rock be the new Mr. McMahon if they needed that. And maybe that's the way they're going. But the point is, they have force-fed, this spoon-fed, this narrative that the Bloodline story is the greatest story. And then you get Cody Rhodes, who comes back from AEW. He left WWE because they misused him as an athlete, a person, and a character for decades. He starts his own thing. And AEW, in its early days, was everything a wrestling fan like Swink ever wanted. It was everything he ever desired. Great stories, great wrestling, superstars that were finally getting their due, and Cody's waving the flag. But Cody is a historian. He wanted the title that his dad never got. So ultimately, when he founded AEW and was AEW, he was always going to come back to the WWE because that was on his personal bucket list. And now we have this. And unfortunately, I think we've gotten to a point where we're going to finish his story, but he might not win because of the way this thing has gone. It's as if the writers at WWE are like, well, we have this story, but then this happened, so now we're going to do this, and now this has happened, so let's do this. It makes it inconsistent, and it makes it weird.
So here's my thing about it.
And you are correct in everything you just said, but my problem with it is, you know, people like to think that Roman Reigns is some all-time great, but then when The Rock comes back, you immediately see just how small Roman Reigns is compared to The Rock in terms of level of superstar. And as far as, you know, the whole Cody Rhodes finish the story thing, I guess we'll do that here since that kind of ties into the match the next night. I guess we'll
the next connection I was going to make. Who do you think wins then, which has got to be the main event of Sunday night?
So Cody, the whole thing with finish the story, this never was originally about Cody Rhodes. This whole Bloodline thing was never about Cody Rhodes originally. It just became a whole thing with Cody Rhodes when Cody jumped from AEW to WWE. Because remember, people wanted Sami Zayn to be the guy to beat Roman. Now it's Cody Rhodes. the thing is, I don't think they know how they want to end the damn Bloodline storyline. And they had it last year with Cody, where they could have had Cody win last year, and they had him lose. My question is, are they really going to have Cody lose twice? I mean, come on.
I guess from a WWE fan like Martez, this year of buildup has made it even better for him than as if Cody had won last year, he would have missed out on all this. If Cody wins this year, Martez is going to lose his mind. But Swink's point, does Cody win? There's that thought that's been floating around for a long time. They want Roman to surpass Hogan as holding the belt for consecutive days or whatever. They like to eliminate old records with new people from time to time. Do you think, Martez, who wins Sunday night? Swink's not sure. He doesn't know, it appears.
I mean, and that's the fault of WWE, having people not sure. They've done a lot of things these last few months to give people caution not to believe that Cody is going to win. I think it'll be a monumental mistake. You know, it'll be a big misstep if they don't give the belt to Cody, because I think you have the chance to lose fans being invested in Cody finishing the story if they don't give it to him Sunday. You know, me personally, I've been invested in this, you know, not like really emotionally invested in this. And I try not to get emotionally invested in sports or anything like that, because it's just something fun to engage with. But I'm mostly invested in Cody finishing his story, because it identifies with some things that I go through in my life. So I've kind of connected that with Cody, but that's another story for another day. But if they don't get him that belt, you know, I think they have the there's a huge chance people will not care about him finishing his story. Because if he doesn't win this Sunday, well, when do you give him the belt? Do you give it to him at Money in the Bank? I don't think so. Do you give it to him at SummerSlam? I don't think so. I heard a podcast that throw the idea of him winning it at Madison Square Garden. I think there's some connection with Dusty Rhodes and Madison Square Garden. I don't know what the history or the connection is, but I heard a podcaster say that he may win it at Madison Square Garden in the fall.
If Roman's Reigns reign ends, it's got to be at WrestleMania to the man of the future. Now, Steve, do you think, I got a question for Steve. I was there. Does somehow The Rock become champion the way Hogan did with that whole Bret Hart Yokozuna thing in Las Vegas years ago?
I'm going to throw out a scenario, and this is what I believe is going to happen. Let's start with the tag team match. There is no reason to have this if The Rock and Roman don't win it. It's a useless match that makes no sense. You want it to be Bloodline rules. And then you want Cody to have help. And, you know, obviously, you know, he's had Seth and he's had Jey Uso. Wouldn't this be the time? Wouldn't this be the way to keep Roman with the title, to have main event Jay be the deciding factor in not allowing Cody to complete his story? Cody is the man that has personally vouched for him, and he has said that on more than one occasion. Is that and the Bloodline goes full circle? It becomes united. Something happens in the Jimmy and Jay match that brings the band back together somehow, and suddenly Jey Uso is the one that causes Cody to not finish his story. Well, then that would set up a pretty epic rivalry between Cody and Jey moving forward. And then you can go a little longer, and maybe you can get your Rock Roman Reigns match at some point down the road. There are a lot of things they could do, but I think they've kind of painted themselves into a corner. Because they, I can't remember if it was Charlie or the Macho Ghost that said it, but they really like to take the old records with people that they don't like so much anymore and rewrite them with new people. You know, you still got John Cena, his one shy of the Nature Boy. And I don't think they will ever let that happen. They will never let that record be surpassed unless Ric Flair does something to mortally wound the McMahon family or something that would make them want to do it. Hogan has given them a billion reasons, you know, over the last decade to want to see him surpassed. So that right there is enough to have Cody not finish his story because that's the way they operate. They don't care what the fans want. They want to do what they think is going to make them the most money and project the viewerships and everybody that's got eyes on it going forward. I mean, if Jay comes out and screws Cody, you're going to have the biggest watched Monday Night Raw in the history of Monday Night Raw on Monday to find out why Jay, why. And that sends you off on a completely different story arc. And then Roman Reigns can take the next 6 months off before he comes back and has to do something. So you've got a lot of ways you can go, but I think that's the way it's going to go.
Now, Swink, real quick, then we'll have to move on. Macho Ghost has one thing to say. I do. Now, Swink, years ago, this whole thing stems from Cody as a little boy, you know, wanting, you know, his dad didn't win the title. There was a match, and I forget where it was. You probably remember where Dusty Rhodes was in the WWE, or excuse me, it might have been the WWWF, I'm not even sure, a long time ago. The match ended, he was handed the belt, and then the belt was taken away from him because the finish was changed or what have you. It wasn't a Dusty finish.
It was Dusty.
So Dusty held the belt and it was taken away from him. But that is all storyline. It's not like there was a call on the spot where, like the other night where Ricky Starks got hurt and got pinned in the tag team match. That I don't think that's the way that match was supposed to end. That's not what happened all those years ago with Dusty. That was the storyline. He didn't actually win the belt and they ripped it from his hands. That was just a storyline. So, but Cody, he wants to finish that story. He wants to get the belt and keep it. Is this a real story, Swink?
So Cody, or sorry, you're talking about Dusty. So Dusty actually challenged for the WWWF heavyweight title back in 1977 when superstar Billy Graham was the champion. And he actually beat superstar Graham by countout and MSG on September the 26th in 1977. They had a rematch in a Texas death match where superstar Graham beat him. And then they wrestled twice more where Dusty actually beat him in Landover, Maryland on January 14th, 1978 by referee's decision. And then he beat him again at the Boston Garden on January the 16th by referee's decision. But he was never awarded the title.
But that's like beating somebody on a disqualification or a countout. I don't know about the rules way back when. I was not even there yet. But I was still putting the black grease in my dad's hair. But you can't, belt doesn't change hands on a disqualification or referee stoppage as far as I know. But anyway, the point was, here's what I said, and I think I shared this with you a long time ago. I didn't actually think Cody Rhodes was leaving to go to WWE, and I couldn't have been more wrong. But I still hold out hope, which I know there is no hope, but I still hold out hope that this is all a plan, a diabolical plan between Cody Rhodes and Tony Khan, that Cody left the AEW, went back to the WWE. He's going to win the belt Sunday night, finish the story. He's going to be on Raw. He'll do whatever he has to do on Raw, da-da-da. They're going to sneak him into Dynamite on Wednesday, and in the center of the ring, he's going to hand the WWE belt over to Tony Khan. That's what I want to see. That would be the greatest moment in wrestling history. The whole thing's been a swerve. They sneak Cody in the building. He comes out. He says, Tony, this is for you. And then it was all swerve the whole time. Kiss my dupe up, Triple H.
Swerve.
That'd be the biggest thing since Shane McMahon showed up on Monday Nitro once upon a time, right?
Don't remind me.
So as far as Cody and AEW goes, I do believe he will return to AEW at some point. I have no doubt in my mind that he will, but it's not going to be that scenario, Macho Ghost. I think the whole thing is he wants to win the belt that his dad never won, even though that's not the same belt that Roman Reigns has. It's the...
I don't even know where the original WWF Championship is at this point in the lineage of the all the world titles and universal titles and undisputed titles.
So he has both the universal title and the WWE Championship. So the WWE Championship is supposed to be that same one that Superstar Graham had back in 78. But the other belt is the universal title, which he's held longer than the WWE Championship, and that's the one where he's setting, you know, the record with his historic title reign.
And that's where he wrestles people from all across the universe, but yet I never see any aliens. Well, I think we've covered all that. I think we dissected that pretty well. Does anyone else have anything else to say about it?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good.
Now, well, that segues right into the other main event type match, Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship with everyone's favorite CM Punk on commentary. Does
so
anyone
they've
care?
Done a great job. They've done a great job building up this Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk match at WrestleMania. Oh, wait, that's not the match. Instead, it's Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre in a match that no one cares about because Seth Rollins holds the geek title because he is, in fact, a geek with a capital G.
It's the workhorse championship.
No, it's called the... No, it's called the Roman Reigns doesn't work only a handful of dates a year, and so we need a guy to be champion. So here you go, Seth.
Yep.
The heavyweight championship at WWE is like that episode of Star Trek where Captain Kirk got caught between realities, between dimensions, and he kept fading in and out of the Enterprise, and they couldn't keep a hold of him, and then people would see him, and he'd disappear, then he'd come back later. This a world championship, even though it's melded and unified with other belts, it's always still out there somehow. Did, like, Ric Flair have a trunk full of these things?
It really does look like something that you could find in one of those claw machines at the carnival.
Ooh. Does anybody care who wins? Martez, what do you think about this match?
I was trying to say, I personally don't think Seth Rollins is going to even make it to that World Heavyweight Championship match the next day because I think my belief is that Damian Priest is going to cash in the Money in the Bank after the tag team match that night. I think they want to get that briefcase off Damian Priest, and I think this is the best and the most logical way to do it. You know, Cody and Seth lose night one. Seth is already beat up. Damian Priest comes out, cashes in, becomes World Heavyweight Champion. The next day, Damian Priest takes on Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre wins the belt off Damian Priest. I really think they're going to go that way, and I think they should go that way. I think that's the best outcome that they can have. I truly expect Damian Priest to be your World Heavyweight Champion night one of WrestleMania.
That's a bold statement. That would be payback for Seth Rollins. He should cash it in during the match. That's what Seth Rollins did between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar all those years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Steve, do you care who wins?
Who are you talking
there?
To?
But Steve, I said, do you care who wins?
Not until right now. That actually, Martez, that's a pretty interesting scenario, and it does make a lot of sense that would actually kind of make this whole situation that's irrelevant, at least somewhat relevant. because if they're looking to pay Drew McIntyre homage for being champion when they were playing arenas without fans during the pandemic, this would be a great opportunity to do it, and it would give a nice little push to Priest and the Judgment Day to do what they did to Seth Rollins. And, you know, if Punk has to count it, then you've got a nice little you continue on with that inevitable, unfortunate Drew McIntyre CM Punk situation.
Outside of all the people who are mesmerized and members of, pun intended, CM Punk's cult of personality, does everyone else think Punk's just a lying piece of crap, right?
He certainly still makes people energized. And, hey, Swink, what was it he said during that promo where he made a commentary about him being gone 10 years and them not being interesting enough to carry the weight?
I stopped paying attention to anything that CM Punk said when he got back to WWE.
I gotcha. He made a comment that actually I kind of was like, that's an interesting comment. You know, everybody has their opinion of CM Punk. Some people love him. Some people can't stand him. You know, he's a guy that he pushes the bar either way. So, you know, you may not like him, but, you know, he certainly is good for business, I guess you could say.
Go ahead. I don't really care who wins this match. I really don't. But Drew McIntyre's contract is coming up, and apparently he has not signed yet. So I guess, you know, if he wins the title, then I guess that means that, you know, they're going to re-sign him, or maybe that's incentive for him to re-sign by putting the belt on him. But, again, I really don't care who wins.
Well, now you've got a follow-up question. The AEW supporters, because obviously if Drew McIntyre doesn't sign, you know, logically you would think he would hop over to AEW. Do you want him?
I didn't want Edge, but I have to say, you never should dig your heels on a guy, because I think everything Adam Copeland has done so far in AEW has actually been pretty good. And I think he understood the assignment, as the kids say these days, because he didn't come in here and just do, you know, WWE type stuff where he goes to that place, you know, and he makes faces and all that. You know, the same sit on a stool and cut promos. The same stuff he was doing in WWE when he was leader of Judgment Day. Remember when he was leader of Judgment Day? Yeah, nobody else does. But
he was like so long ago.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He understood the assignment. He did not come in there and just try to do WWE stuff in AEW. He, you know, to the promotion accordingly. And he's done real good work. Him and Christian had a great feud, which had a great blow-off match. But as far as Drew McIntyre goes, I mean, Drew McIntyre's a good wrestler. And, you know, he proved himself on the independent scene when he got fired from WWE. And then, you know, he got rehired because, you know, he went out there, he wrestled all over the place in like every promotion under the sun. And that's what got him rehired. So he clearly would show up with his working boots on and not just come in there and just do the same act he's been doing in WWE. But, you know, I can take or leave him personally. So, you know, he wouldn't be the worst hire that Tony Khan has made. I mean, he did hire Saraya.
Now we've covered that. That these three matches, I think, were the ones I expected to be talked about the most. We're over halfway through the show now. I believe, Martez, there are two people on the line, on the phone, who want to talk. Do we know who they are?
Yep, we have Josh was the first caller. We can go to him first, and then Coco is behind Josh.
Oh, man. Well, is this Josh from the NC-17?
Yep.
All right. Well, you could put him on, and put on Josh, or put on Josh and Coco at the same time, whatever you want to do.
I'll put on Josh first, and I may put Coco on next too, but Josh is on right now.
How y'all doing?
Hey, Josh, how are you? I don't know you, but I know of you. I'm Charlie. This is speaking here. You're on. If you've been listening to the show, I apologize. But you know who's on here. I have a feeling you have some opinions because you have your own show, NC17. So not to waste any more time, what are you thinking?
First and foremost, I disagree with what a lot of has been said. I think AEW is just WCW 2.0, and it's going to sink within the next 3 to 4 years because Tony Khan can't get his head out of his butt. I'm going to keep it. I'm keeping PG-13 instead of NC-17.
Good idea.
But I mean, he's got all these people coming in from WWE, and he's either A, having them wrestle other people from WWE, or putting them in factions with people from WWE. He don't know how, the only person over there right now from WWE that's in AEW that is any relevance is Swerve. And that's my own personal opinion. I mean, but that's, I'm done with AEW. That's just, AEW is a smite on the wrestling world, in my opinion. So.
Oh, man. Twink, relax.
Wow.
Yeah. And to the point of, like, wrestling fans, like, everyone says, you know, you watch wrestling to watch wrestling, right? Okay, cool. I agree with that. But, however, you can't sit there and say you don't care who wins a match if you're a wrestling fan, because you got to care who wins because you are indeed a wrestling fan.
Yeah, again, there's got to be some storyline driving the feud, or at least you have to have a favorite in the match, that which makes it more exciting. You're just watching wrestling for the sake of watching wrestling is not exciting to you, if I'm understanding you correctly.
Exactly. Now, I will say the Bloodline storyline was good all the way up until they had Jimmy turn on Jay right after Jimmy just turned on Roman. That is the stupidest stuff I've seen in professional wrestling in my entire life, and I'm 44 years old.
Oh, man.
That was just plain stupid. I don't know what to do with this guy, so we're going to just turn him back and put him back with the Bloodline. Now, I've never been a fan of Roman Reigns, not even when he was with the Shield, not even when he was in NXT. Roman Reigns, to me, is the Barry Horowitz of WWF. And the reason I say that is because he's a paper champion. He is a paper champion, and what I mean by that is he's so, you know, like, oh, I'm the greatest of all time. Bro, you only had 11 matches last year. How the hell are you the greatest of all time if you ain't even putting in the work? I mean, common sense would say if you're going to be champion, defend that championship. Don't say, I'm going to take 6 months off, come back, defend it once, and then take another 6 months off. And then with The Rock coming in, all right, The Rock should have stayed in Hollywood. Plain and simple. I mean, I'm over The Rock being in wrestling. I'm over the Stone Colds and all these part-timers coming back and taking spots from people who deserve them. Now, that's just my personal opinion, but The Rock, you know, dropping these F-bombs and making people bleed and all this other stuff, I mean, all right, look, the dude wants to relive the Attitude Era because he's the head of the table with the TKO, fine, do what you got to do, but don't expect fans to be watching it a lot because you're leaving so you can film a live-action version of Moana. Dude, get off your high horse and stop trying to be something you're not. You're no longer a good wrestler. You are now just an actor. So go to Hollywood and act.
A live-action version of Moana? Who's going to play that chicken?
I don't know, but probably Roman Reigns.
Now, Josh, you've done something I don't know if anyone has exactly done before. You have simultaneously made Steve very happy and Swink very angry with your comments of just the last few minutes. Do you care who wins any of the matches then? It doesn't sound like it sounds like you're kind of enjoying it. I can't tell, though. Do you care if Cody wins and finishes the story?
I want Cody to win to finish his story, But I think that at the end of the day, when he finally does finish his story, they're going to make him out to be a mark, and he's going to drop the title very quickly. That's what I'm thinking.
Hmm. Now, Marquez, you know Josh. Do you have any questions for him?
Oh, no. No, I'm just really, like, blown away with Josh's take. No, I don't have any questions for Josh right now.
Is Martez on the show still? Is he watching TV?
Josh just punched him in the face.
Well, now, no. Go ahead, Josh. You have some more to say?
I was just going to say, now, I think it was Macho Ghost who said he wants to see Cody Rhodes show up on Wednesday on whatever that sideshow freak show thing is over in AEW is.
Don't mention my name with sideshow freak show. Watch it there, Josh.
You say you want him to go over there and say, this is for you, Tony Khan.
I do.
Cody Rhodes left AEW because Tony Khan broke his word and his promise with Cody when he said, I'm never going to interfere with any of the outcomes. I'm not going to try to book matches or nothing like that. So Cody Rhodes left AEW because Tony Khan broke his word and his promise. Now, if I sit here and say, hey, I'm a promise to keep it PG-13 instead of turning it into NC-17, and then I start dropping F-bombs, now I'm disrespecting your guys' show. So I'm not going to want to be there no more.
Thank you very much for doing that. I think the next show... There's probably not going to be a next show. But if there's a next show, I think we just have to let Swink and Josh argue until they kill each other.
I mean, it's no disrespect to you, Swink. I know you're an AEW guy, you know, more power to you. But have fun watching Saturday morning cartoons. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're going to have to book this. Josh versus Swink next time.
Thank you, Josh. I think I've thank you for calling in. I hate to send you away. I think we got to bring Coco on now and find out what he's going to say to lighten the mood. Thank you, Josh. Any parting? Well, I think you said enough, Josh.
All right, I'll bring Coco on right now.
Josh just eviscerated everybody.
Man, he came in like a wrecking ball. That was a Miley Cyrus reference. Man, I have been off the air for a long time. I'm out of shape.
Well, he certainly wasn't giving him his flowers.
No. Now, speaking of flowers, someone who always brightens everywhere he goes like a blooming, fragrant bouquet, I believe we have Coco Keeler on the phone. Hello?
Hold up, wait a minute. Let me put some cocoa in it. See where that is. Brother Martez, Brother Ghost, Brother Swink, and praise the Lord and Pastor 56 Week got Troublemaker Brother Stan back on the telephone line. It's so good to hear all of you today. Sight for sore eyes and sore ears, I tell you.
Oh, man, we're making your ears more sore as the minutes go by. Lay us down your wisdom, Coco.
Hey, let me tell y'all right now, I am sitting here watching Monday Night Raw, the go-home show, on the way to WrestleMania 4-0, and I'm here to tell y'all now I'm absolutely excited. Cannot wait for the weekend of all weekends, WrestleMania, to hit the scene. And even though the black man and kayfabe people's band have been traveling, performing everywhere from Waterloo to Timbuktu, I have to carve out some time out of my busy schedule to watch one of the things I've been looking at ever since I was a tiny, teeny baby T-Way, you know what I'm saying, WrestleMania. And so I am super excited. Even the queen is excited this year.
Man, sensational Queen Sweet Denny.
Yes, sir. The sensational one, Her Royal Highness, is sitting here playing on her Steam Deck, watching some wrestling, checking out Mommy Rhea Ripley right now.
I think a lot of people are checking out Mommy Rhea Ripley right now. Coco, I remember years ago when you were on this very show, that you were thinking you wanted to put together a band called Kayfabe the People's Band, and you had yourself and the Sensational Sweet Denny, and you were looking for some other players, and you wanted to put this band together. Fast forward however many years, you are literally traveling all over the place playing all kinds of events. It's a dream come true for Coco Keyware.
Absolute moment, baby. We are doing the thing like Chicken Wang on the string. We are five members strong. And on the KGON, we bring in a sixth member, you know what I'm saying? Kind of like our R-Truth to a Judgment Day type deal. But we're happy with that situation. We got a guitar player. We got a drummer. We got a keyboard player. You got yours truly. And then, of course, you got the beautiful voice, the Sensational Sweet Denny. And we are the five knuckle shuffle daddy of fantastical music. We played at wrestling shows, birthday parties, Juneteenth celebration. Watch party. Matter of fact, Brother Martez has booked us a couple of times for one of his watch parties, Danny, and we have a fantastical time, don't we, Brother Martez? Did we lose,
oh,
Brother,
yeah,
Martez?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Martez,
yeah,
we're still on the air, you know.
There we go. There we go.
Nah.
Anyway, like I was saying, I got a couple of soon-to-make old announcements, you know what I'm saying? We got a wonderful show that's coming up, and I can't tell you exactly where it's going to be, but I will say this. The next show we're doing has kind of got a little bit of something to do with football. You know what I'm saying? We got a show coming up, but I don't know where. I can't say too much. I've already said enough as it is. But we got
to play
on
the halftime show at the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, hold on. Keep on talking that way, brother. Keep talking that talk, and it just might happen. So you know people, you know good people. Call your cousins and them up and say you want KFA the People's Band to headline the halftime show of the Super Bowl. Because, you know, we going to turn that bad thing out like inside outside.
Man, I do know people, but every time I call them, they never call me back. I don't know what that is all about.
Hey,
do you have
any
insight, anything other than these main events? You've been loving WWE since you're a child. You're super excited. Is there any match in particular that you're looking forward to? We've only talked about the two main events so far. We're going to cram everything else in the next 28 minutes.
Okay, so the black man believes that the show stealer is going to be the Sami Zayn versus Gunther match. I just got a feeling that this match is going to be a banger of a banger. And if any of y'all are like some WrestleMania historian fans like myself, if you know anything about the IC Championship in WrestleMania matches, you know it's going to be special. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about Roddy Piper and Bret the Hitman Hart. That match was only like 10 minutes long, but it was unforgettable. And then, of course, we're going to go all the way back to WrestleMania 3, the original show stealer match of all matches of all time. Ricky Steamboat, Macho Man Randy Savage for the IC title, baby. That's a match that the black man was a little fella, but I never forgot it. Still one of my all-time favorite WrestleMania matches ever. I put it up against anyone to this day.
As you should. And next time when you're talking about Intercontinental Championship matches at WrestleMania, mention mine first.
Absolutely fair enough. I stand corrected.
Now, I got a question. I got a question, too. Oh, wait, then. Swink, you're a fan of Gunther, formerly Walter. Do you think Coco says this, the show-stealing match is going to be Gunther versus Sami Zayn? What do you think about that?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm probably not going to watch this show at all, but I will say if there was one match that I would watch, it would be this one because I do like Walter. I do like Sami Zayn. Although I prefer him in his old days when, you know, he was El Generico.
That was a totally different guy. Yeah, Swink, I don't
care.
Absolutely. They're two
guy.
Totally different people. Exactly.
No respect for Kayfabe, Brother Swink. That's a penalty flag for you, Daddy. 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Ooh.
Well, nevertheless, I do think this is going to be a pretty good match if they get enough time. And who knows what night it's going to be on because we really don't know what show the other nine matches are going to take place on yet.
The only thing we know for sure, the big tag team match is night one, and the two world title matches are night two. That's all we know for sure. And Swink says that's going to be awful.
Man's got no complaints with that.
What about Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair?
Wait, who was that? Was that Marquez? Chiming in? Oh, I'm going down my list here. I thought, man, well, we probably won't talk about that match for a little while yet, but I guess Marquez wants to talk about his dream fantasy squad match of Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill taking on three-fourths of damage control, Dakota Kai, and the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, Asuka and Kairi Sane. Now, actually, Swink is a big fan of Asuka, too, so actually you both might be mouth-watering and salivating for this match.
Cargill's
really her official wrestling match debut, because technically the Royal Rumble doesn't count as a wrestling match per se.
And this match is brought to you by the good folks at OnlyFans.
Match specifically for Martez. They had to have.
Well, you know, I only care about this match for the rest.
The black man wants to jump in.
Oh, now you care about wrestling. I have one word for you, Martez. Versus. Hey, I'm not watching to see any skin or anything like that. Contrary to what you all think, I'm looking to see a nice, clean match. A good match. Yeah. I think Jade Cargill should go
to
time.
Wow, this is
Trump
level hypocrisy happening right here.
Well, a lot of black men chime in on this real quick. Speaking of that six women tag team match, the black man is excited about that. I can't wait to look at that bad boy match. That bad girl match is going to be exquisite. I just got a feeling. And you know that Jade Cargill, I mean, she's built. Like she reminds me of kind of like how Lex Luger was. Like, you couldn't take your eyes off of Lex because the muscles was just popping everywhere. I mean, you got muscles on your kneecaps. You know what I'm saying? Who does that except for Lex Luger and Jade Cargill? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, could you imagine the baby of Lex Luger and Jade Cargill would just come out looking like just a big Michelin tire kid?
It would look like
Jesus Christ, the baby's... The baby won't even have a first word. It's going to have a first pose. You know what I'm saying? So we already know what that would have turned out into. That baby come out the gate with muscles. You know what I'm saying? Gums got muscles, you know?
Man. So Marquez, you think that Jade is going to be successful in her big debut. She spent some time off TV, supposedly training to, I believe personally, the WWE. Although I was shocked she left AEW, the WWE is probably better for her. I enjoyed watching her in the ring. I know she's not good. I expected her to not be that great, so I wasn't upset watching her wrestle as so many other people were. But I think the WWE is a better place for her because their wrestling style is different. It's not quite as fast-paced in most cases, which would give her more time to execute her moves. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Just
Martez, do you think this is going to be a good debut? Then I'm curious what the Swink thinks.
I think this is going to be the debut of all debuts. I think this is going to be a Jade Cargill coming out party. I think she's going to be able to present some different movesets that people don't think she has. I think WWE has kept her away for a reason, and I think she's going to put on a clinic. Well, I don't know if they wrestle on Saturday or Sunday, but I expect her to put on a clinic. I expect people to be talking big cash about her after this weekend because I know WWE did something special with her. I just got the feeling they did something special, but they're just saving it. They're saving it for WrestleMania. I know I was reading some social media comments, and people were giving her flack because they said Friday she did all the same moves that she did in AEW, but you know, why give away everything when you don't have to? You know, I think they're saving it for WrestleMania. And like I said, I think we're going to be praising her come April the 8th, that Monday after WrestleMania. But I do got one thing I can say. I know I like – am I allowed – I'll say it for a different day, but I really want to say this. I'm not trying to be controversial. I guess I am.
That's okay. Eric Bischoff always says controversy creates cash.
Yeah. Only thing my problem is with this matchup is some kind of way people always want to tie in race with this. And I guess I'm doing that too. You know, so who's ever listened to this show, can we just watch the storylines and watch wrestling? Yeah, we have three black women on the same team, but that's not, to me, that's not news. That's not news. Can we just make it about wrestling? That's all I really want to say. I'm just kind of annoyed that a certain group of people have turned this into black girl power, black girl magic, and I think that's unnecessary. Let's just watch wrestling.
You got a good point there, Brother Martez. That's hot take 10, y'all. That's what you call him. Hot take 10. Mm-hmm. Because he's going to say what's on his mind that maybe the general public ain't saying. So good for you on that one, Brother Tez. I get what you say because
Thank
he gets
you,
the thing. If we just keep focusing on the skin color of the wrestler, we ain't focusing on the wrestler. Now, mm-hmm. from an historical standpoint, he is kind of cool. You know what I'm saying? But at that point, mm-hmm. let's not go too deep into that because when we do that all day, we get distracted from that and we want things
right.
that ain't got nothing to do with what they can do in that wrestling ring. You know what I'm saying? So I am excited about it, though. I think it is cool to see those three beautiful black sisters in that ring teamed up together, you know. And then I also, more to your point about Sister Kanga coming back, doing her thing out there in the WWE, you make a valid point. I think they got her groomed, prepared, refined, and she's going to be divine in that wrestling ring. Now, let's do a little quick historical analysis, you know what I'm saying. Remember when Fandango was getting built up for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and he had an opportunity to wrestle Chris Jericho, but it didn't quite come together. You know what I'm saying? If something happened there, it just wasn't as good. And fans like yours truly kind of saw through that. So they got to make sure that they don't do that with Jade Cargo. Don't put her in a position to where it makes her look bad or she has to work way too hard to make some kind of WrestleMania moment. WrestleMania moments need to happen on their own, Daddy. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I hate when they use it because it becomes a buzzword. Just let it happen naturally, and then we, the fans, let us decide if that was, in fact, a WrestleMania moment. Do y'all catch my drift? You feel what I'm saying?
I feel what you're saying, I think. Did he mention Fandango? Oh, man. Hello, can anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah.
I had to switch phones. Something was going on around here.
Yeah, I was talking about Fandango and how they kept promoting him for weeks and weeks and weeks on end, and he had an opportunity to wrestle with one of the greatest in Chris Jericho, and for some reason that match just didn't go over as well. So I was saying, as it relates to Sister Jade Cargo, I hope they make sure that they don't put too much effort into trying to make her look great to the point to where she has to force herself or force a situation, you know what I'm saying, to create like maybe a WrestleMania moment or some kind of thing that they just want to keep replaying over and over. Just let it happen naturally. Whatever she does in that ring, I think it's going to happen just fine. It's going to work out the way it needs to work out. That's all the black men were saying.
Now,
Mart, I was going to ask Swink, and now Martez and Coco, you've made this even more difficult. Swink? What do you have to say about Jade Cargo after the glowing?
All right, so I just wanted to say thank you to WWE, Paul Levesque, anyone involved with hiring Jade Cargo for taking her off AEW's hands, because thank God she's gone and I don't have to watch another Jade Cargo match ever again.
Oh, my goodness, brother, Swink. Causing violence and all kinds of divination here. You know what I'm saying? You think you mean to tell me you had no love for the Sister Jade? That chick? I'm telling you not. I think what y'all call trash is going to be WWE's treasure. And I think in the long run, you're going to look up and say, dang, I kind of wish they had did what it took to keep Jay Cargo. I'm just saying. Now, I'll say this about their women's division real quick. I think Tony Storm is doing a fantastic job. I love that gimmick. I think it's the best thing they got going. But in the long run, somebody like a Jay Cargo, I think they could have stood to have kept her there and kept working with her. But the worst thing that could have ever happened is when you take a diamond in the rough like a Jay Cargo and let her go to a machine that is called the WWE. I just think it's lights out now at this point, in my opinion.
Man.
I think that she is a better fit for WWE. I said that before, and I'll say it again. So I think she actually will fit in with WWE more so than AEW because she just did not fit in with what AEW was doing, in my opinion.
I don't know. Does anyone think that Bianca, Naomi, and Jay aren't going to beat Damage Control?
No.
I don't know how you're...
Yeah, speaking of Damage Control, thank you, Steve. That was a very good segue. The women's... now, this is the WWE Women's Championship, not to be confused with the Women's World Championship. Io Sky and former teammate Bayley going one-on-one for the Women's Championship. Steve, you haven't talked in a while. What do you think?
I think they've set it all up for Bayley to win that match, and the Cargill, Naomi, Belair team to win their match. So it's a night of terrible misfortune for Damage Control, which will probably have a new name by the time we're done with it. As far as Jade Cargill in AEW, kind of a square peg in a round hole. They had this freakish athlete that needed more tools than they were able to provide. She could thrive here, but, you know, we also know that they misevaluate talent all the time. The fact that Nia Jax still draws a paycheck is absolutely stunning to me because she is a danger to those around herself and others.
Jade. Allow the black man to interrupt.
Jax.
Hold on. Time out. Time out. Troublemaker brother Stan, I know you just didn't talk about my boo Nia Jax in a negative light like that. That is enough for me to drive in my 09 Ford Focus on a quarter tank of gas in Chicago and find you, my brother. You can't talk about my sweet day Nia Jax like that. That's my TV boo.
How many people is that behemoth going to kill before they call her a criminal?
She's not a bohemian. She's just big-boned it. How dare you? She's big-boned
it. She assaults people with those big bones to the point that she should be locked up for a felony.
A felony, he says.
See, this is why I called you the troublemaker, Brother Stan, because, see, you're starting stuff and ain't nothing turned on. That's a shame, brother. You the kind of guy that don't even need jumper cables to start a battery because you so full of mischief. That's not right, brother Stan. Wait till I see you in the shot, baby. You and me, we gonna have some words, daddy. One-on-one, mano y mano. Or better yet, I may get my cousin Coco Americano to take on that fraud, that mass fraud you got over there on that side of town.
Coco Americano? Man, I want to see that guy fight. Grand Blanco. I want to see that guy fight. Who's got the real mask?
Hey,
well,
I mean
Coco
no
Americano
disrespect.
Is the original official.
Just tell your boo to learn how to wrestle, for Christ's sake.
Oh, see, there you go. You know what? Y'all better move on to the next subject because
we got to move. We have 11 minutes. We have 10 minutes left. We have 10 minutes left. I see. I told you, Marquez, we needed the full 3 hours again. I think pretty much we can all agree we think Bayley's going to win this one, and it's why not? She hasn't been champion in a long time. She's I was just going to say the only relevant for Horsewoman at the moment, but I'm wrong because Becky Lynch is taking on Rhea Ripley for the Women's World Championship. Now, we know everybody likes Rhea Ripley. Does anyone think Becky's got a chance? Let's go to the Swink here because I think, Swink, you're actually a fan of Rhea Ripley's, aren't you?
You know, I do like Rhea Ripley. I wouldn't say that I'm a fan, but I do like her. As far as this match goes, though, Becky Lynch is another one, like I talked about earlier with Drew McIntyre, who, as of this podcast, I guess you would say what we're doing right now, as far as I know, she has not re-signed with the company. She still doesn't have a new contract, and her current contract is about to expire. So, you know, does she win the title here? Does she re-sign? And we just saw Mercedes Moné just get a huge money contract from AEW, and we just saw Charlotte Flair last December, before she got hurt, sign a huge contract. You have to think that Becky Lynch is going to want the same money, if not more, than what Charlotte and Mercedes got. And Mercedes supposedly got, you know, the most money of any woman in wrestling history, apparently. If the rumors are to be believed. If the rumors are to be believed. So, as far as who wins this match, I mean, Ripley, obviously, very popular. She is day. Without her, it's just, you know, like three geeks. You know, it is totally Rhea Ripley's show. I mean, so, but Becky Lynch, you know, book come out and everything, so I don't know.
I can't see her leaving the WWE for the main reason that her husband is there, and I can't see her wanting to split up her family traveling separately all across the country.
Not to mention, they both seem like they are committed to WWE for life.
Absolutely. No matter what happens, win or lose, she's still there.
Steve, do you like Rhea Ripley?
I think she's very entertaining, and I don't see a way that they can allow her to lose this match. Not with all the momentum. I mean, Becky has been the most popular women's wrestler. I mean, her and Bianca are right there, A and B, as far as popularity. But Rhea has maybe somewhat surpassed them, and I don't know if you want to mess with that right now because, you know, they put a lot of stock in the Judgment Day, and if she loses the match, I don't know if that's very good for Judgment Day. So I kind of feel like you got to keep the status quo here.
Now, not possible. But yeah. Let me also say for the record that Brother Stan does not he don't like his own self because he sat there and talked about my boo night jacks. I'm still sore about that, but continue on.
It's time for the rapid fire round because we got 7 minutes left.
The Judgment Day.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes.
Charlie, I don't know if we got 30 seconds, but Josh wanted to say one more thing before we I don't know if we got time to do that. But
we have seven minutes. What does he want? He can put him back on, and then we got a rapid fire. I was put in charge, and it doesn't make any difference what I say. Blog Talk's going to cut us off anyway.
My apology.
So what does Josh have to say?
All right. Swink, you there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Here's what's going to happen.
Uh-oh.
You say that AEW, like, it's good riddance for Jade Cargill out of there. AEW held her in high regard because they let her be that TNT whatever champion, that other joke of a championship they have over there for so long. This is where it's going to go. SummerSlam weekend, I challenge you where we both debate why AEW sucks and why it should die.
Wow. Well, Swink, are you interested in that? Swink, I can feel the heat coming off of Swink, and I'm not even in the same county.
Sign me up for that one.
Do you accept the challenge?
I think Swink's consulting with his lawyers.
We'll leave all legalities out of it. Just friendly competition, and you'll see at the end of the day, AEW, like I said, is a smite on the professional world of wrestling.
Man, we're going to leave this one as a cliffhanger because I think Swink's too angry to speak, Josh.
Well, you know how to get a hold of Martez. He knows how to get a hold of me. I'm going to let you guys do your flash round. The challenge has been laid out. Whether you accept or not, that's up to you, my friend.
Man, all right. The gauntlet has been thrown down. Man, things haven't been this uncomfortable since I don't know, that time Steve accidentally kissed Kayvon.
That Anita Bryant concert.
All right, real quick, we got a couple minutes left. We're not going to get to Stand and Deliver. United States Championship, triple threat match, Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton. Does anyone care?
Nope.
Nah.
Does anyone care who wins the brother versus brother match between Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso?
Jey.
It doesn't matter because it's all going to come together on night two.
Let's see here. Man, oh, man. The Undisputed Tag Team Championship six-pack ladder match. We don't know what the hell to do with all these guys, so we're putting them in Steve's favorite word, a cluster fudge. Judgment Day, the Undisputed Tag Team Champions, Finn Balor and Damian Priest are taking on, I put them alphabetically, A-Town Down Under, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, Awesome Truth, The Miz and R-Truth, DIY, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, New Catch Republic, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. Does anyone have any predictions? You got 30 seconds.
I hope they all die in a bus accident.
Wow.
I think Awesome Truth is going to win, but I think A-Town Down Under should win because they're beginning to be over and over and over. So I think A-Town Down Under should win, but Awesome Truth will win.
You know what happens? Grayson Waller should get pushed
irrelevant
as a single wrestler, and Austin Theory should go back to scrubbing toilets.
Tag team wrestling in the WWE is absolutely irrelevant.
Ooh.
I think Swink's too angry to speak. Speaking of tag team matches, 2-on-2 tag team match, LWO, Rey Mysterio, new LWO member Dragon Lee, forget the rest of the LWO, we're taking on Legado de Nepotism of Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Once again, Rey's fighting his son at WrestleMania.
Who said nepotism can't get you anywhere?
Man, oh man!
That's the only reason Nia Jax is still employed.
Wow! Yeah, they're not firing any Samoans anytime soon, I don't think.
She's about to join the Bloodline. She has to.
I'm surprised she hasn't. And what about Tamina? She's still around.
Even the Bloodline doesn't want her. Part of the Bloodline.
Is anyone interested in the incursion of the initials, AJ Styles versus LA Knight?
I think this is a great TNA offer, man.
I'm all in on that match.
Swink, what did you say?
I said this is a great TNA offer match.
Ooh.
I like Eli Drake. I want Eli Drake to win.
Me too.
Dummy.
I want Eli Drake. I want the dummy button back. And the only other, the rumored match, because obviously this is still, as Coco said, the go-home week for WrestleMania, there's a rumored match of the Pride, which would be Bobby Lashley, Montez Ford, Angelo Dawkins, probably accompanied by B-Fab, taking on the final testament of Karrion Kross, Occam and Razor, with Karrion's lovely wife, and frightening wife, Scarlett, and the legendary Paul Ellering. I'm surprised Occam and Razor, didn't they screw everybody out of an event in the Middle East a couple years ago? I'm surprised they are still back and have a job. Does anyone care
if
about them?
Now,
this is the Hurt Business light, Martez. What do you think? We're going to get cut off any second now. So to anyone who's been listening, I apologize.
Anything, Well, Bobby Lashley, I'm down with, but I miss the Hurt Business. You guys know I love the Hurt Business. I think the Hurt Business was the second greatest faction of all time, if not the best. So, yeah. Oh, I think Bobby Lashley teams win. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits win.
All right. Before we get cut off, final thoughts. Metaphor is hosting NXT Stand and Deliver. I know Swing's thrilled about that. Coco, do you have any final thoughts? You have about 10 seconds.
Cannot wait for WrestleMania 40, baby. It's going down in Chinatown.
Steve, what about you? Any final thoughts? Are you watching WrestleMania this year?
The
yes,
Hurt Business is AEW, and it sucks.
Wait, Josh is still here?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute, who is that? There's too many people on the phone. I'm keeping quiet. Steve, are you watching WrestleMania this year?
Yes, I will watch it. I have a roller derby thing Saturday afternoon, but I should make it home in time to watch the event, and I'll definitely be watching night two when main event Jay screws Cody Rhodes out of his story.
I already told you how I want it to end. I'm thinking that the best show of the weekend is going to be NXT Stand and Deliver. No one agrees with me, but I don't care. Swink, Martez, you are the stars of the show, the man who hates the WWE, the man who loves the WWE. Swink, your hatred has only grown by leaps and bounds during this hour and a half. What are your final thoughts about this year's WrestleMania 40?
I have no thoughts.
What about MJF's arrival? That'll be pretty cool, right?
Not going to happen.
Yes, I can't. Yeah, MJF's not going to be there.
He's going to be
there. I have a feeling that's a Swink. Martez, what do you think? What are your final thoughts about WrestleMania 40 next weekend, April 6th and April 7th?
This is going to be a lovely weekend. I think it's going to go down as probably the best WrestleMania we've seen. I think it's so much to. I think they have so much to offer to us. I just can't wait. You know, and hopefully we can do this in a few more months or sooner, and I can come on here and wax poetically on how great WrestleMania was. But I think it's going to be one of the best ever.
Now. Something Martez mentioned to me in private, he is considering, I'm sure that we're not going to get together ever again at this point, but he would like to do a similar show like this, but he wants to do it for AEW Double or Nothing. Is that correct, Martez?
Yeah, if the guys want to come back on, want to work together again, I'd love to do some AEW talk. You know, much as I love WWE, you know, AEW, I'm glad they're here. I'm glad they're in existence, and I think there seems to be a platform
anything, Josh.
Here.
If that show takes place, they will be flipping their roles, and Swink will be the man in love, and well, I guess we'll have to have Josh on.
Yeah. Yes,
Steve, what's it like to be back on the air? You haven't done a podcast in years.
Yeah, it's like nothing's ever changed.
What happened to Turtle?
He's eating pizza somewhere, happily, probably.
There's a reason why he was always 1% of the show.
Ever since he became GM, he's changed.
Man. All right, well, I really don't know what to say. I can't say I did a good job hosting, but we talk a lot. Did anybody have any fun?
I think we all had fun. What a great idea to do this on April 1st.
That's Steve's line. Well, thank you to anyone who listened. Thank you for Josh for calling in and picking a fight with Swink. Thank you for Coco for calling in and filling us in on Kayfabe the People's Band's popularity and all the things that you're coming, something to do with football. Well, maybe we'll find that out in the future. Thank you, Steve, for being here and bringing the energy and the excitement. Steve is a celebrity. Actually, Steve has wrestled more matches in the last 3 years than Roman Reigns has. Is that right, Steve?
True statement.
Well, why not?
Swink, Martez, are you still friends?
Swink is my brother. I love Swink. I think Josh should have been in my seat, to be honest with you, because I didn't put up a fair fight. I mean, I didn't put up a good fight at all. I think Josh should have went up against Swink tonight. I think that would have been more entertaining.
Maybe we'll get that in SummerClam.
Well, the challenge has been thrown down for NC-17 Josh versus that wrestling show Swink. We'll have to see what happens. Swink has gone silent. Well, this has been Russell Martez versus Swink Mania. Thank you all. Well, thank you, Macho Ghost. I was wondering when you were going to get to me. It's hard sometimes with the talk when the Macho Ghost is around. Should I just say goodnight?
Goodnight.
I love let the ghost take us home.
All right, ghost, you want to take us home? Let's take it home. Let's all get together. Let's sing a song together. Does anybody, Coco, you here, does anyone remember the words to Pile Driver?
Oh, I need to work on that one, Daddy. You brought a good one. I promise you, next time we get together, I'm going to sing Pile Driver right on the line, baby. I promise you that.
I like it. I like it. Keep your eyes peeled for maybe a brand new season of Fire Pro, that gorilla position wrestling. Swink's back in the Booker Man seat, putting some stuff together. Steve is going to be roller derbying around and calling other wrestling shows. Martez is doing Martez business. Coco's on the road. Josh is sharpening his knives. And we're all here where I was happy and I was a pleasure, no matter how terrible the show might have turned out. It was a pleasure to be here with my good friends on the air again, and I'm going to go to sleep tonight with warmness in my heart because I've been filled with the joy of a camaraderie, teamwork, and a friendship.
Absolutely.
Stop the show there, Martez, because it's not going to get any better than that.